Matos, certainly Matos. We're coming towards the end of the Torah, and Sefer Devarim is already a Chazara. Mishnah Torah is going back on the Chazara of Moshe Rabbeinu's drashas, but here we're really reaching a very, very crucial stage of towards the end of the Torah, and here the parasha begins with a fascinating insight to really finding our bearing and what's expected from us in these times. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Roshe HaMatos. Roshe HaMatos means their heads, cholak covered in the Nesim. He gave cover to the Nesim. Okay? So he's giving cover to the Nesim. Why is he giving cover to the Nesim? So he says everything was like that. That was the way the process of teaching was. Moshe Rabbeinu teach Aaron, then Nesim. So why dafka over here, Roshe HaMatos, as if it's something unusual that he spoke to them? Everywhere, the way the process of teaching Torah, that's how it was done. So Rashi says, limei shaforas nedorim beyochid mumcha. Should be aforas nedorim. Yeah, that aforas nedorim is done with a yochid mumcha. In other words, that a godol, a person who is outstanding in his understanding of Torah, is able to be matir eneda, not mefer, matir eneda. Yeah, aforas nedorim is loved after matir eneda. Now, how does an aforas nedorim work? I'll just give you an example of how an aforas nedorim works. There was one boch in Gesed Yeshiva many years back who was very upset that boys were taking his food. And he came to lunch, there was 6 pieces of schnitzel on the table, and one boch had his piece of schnitzel. So learning Maseches Nedarim, and he came downstairs and he says, "Koinem the whole yeshiva alike, but nobody in yeshiva is allowed to have any hano for my things. You should beat to them like hektish." Yeah? And that way, his piece of schnitzel is not going to be touched, right? Fantastic, great. But the problem is, what happens if somebody doesn't know that? It's a very, very dangerous thing. If a person takes his something, he takes his pencil without permission. A person, uses his gemara without permission. You're dealing here with Yibi Machshel, a yeshiva. It's a terrible thing. So this boy was called into the Rosh Yeshiva, Bleib Gurevitz, and he said, "I'm very sorry, there's no possibility you continue in our yeshiva. You can stay in our yeshiva. What he did is a wild act. You have to leave." The Bochel was devastated, never thought he'd reach this stage. Okay? So, he took his stuff, he packed his bags, he said goodbye to his chavrusas, made a little Suda's Parada for him. And Rosh Yeshiva said, "You know what? I'll take you to the train station." Take you to the train station. Puts him on the train. In those days, it had windows. You know, they had windows. Yeah? Nowadays, it's all the same. Had windows. The guy's on the train with his suitcase. Reb Leib Gurevitz said to him, "If you would have known that you would have gone through all this bezoyin, all this embarrassment, and you'd been sent home, taken by Rosh Yeshiva to the station, and sent home, would you have ever made this neda?" Boy said, "Of course I wouldn't. Mutalach, 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 come off the train back to the yeshiva." Right? No. Mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. What is this? That is the charotah. In other words, a yochid mumcha has got to find, can't just say, "No, I don't want it." You've got to find the pesach for charotah. How does that work? So in this week's parasha, we find in the continuation a few very interesting diyukim. The pasuk says, for example, what happened was, let's say a girl made a neda, and the father was mefer the neda. "I don't want a neda to be..." And she doesn't know that a neda was mefer, and she ate something. So she hasn't done anything wrong, correct? She hasn't eaten something that was offered to her because it was mutter.
Like
says a pasuk, "V'Hashem yislach lo." Hashem will forgive her. Hashem will forgive her. Why? Why Hashem forgive her? Because she ultimately put herself in what she thought was something also. It wasn't really awesome. Says the Gemara in Nazir. Says the Gemara in Nazir. It's a beautiful Gemara. The Gemara says, "Hashem yislach lo." So he says, why? Why do you have this slich and kapara? So he says, bear with me a second. "B'mei akosav nabe v'ish shnod b'nazir v'shama ba'ala v'heifala woman made the nazir and ba'ala was made for her v'hila yada v'iveris v'nidra v'shoysa yayim and tamil amesim zuj shrichas slicha v'ata pishu mufa v'mufarim slich and slich kavachim v'lishayim mufarim." In other words, you learn from me, if already she needs a kapara, the posuk says, she didn't do anything wrong and she needs a kapara, Kol Shekein, a person who did something wrong, how much kapara does that person need? which is a very nice limud, a nice kal v'chaymah. Next Rashi. Says the Gemara, Kishohoya Magia Rebbe Kiva Magia Eitzel Posuk Zeh. When Rebbe Kiva came to this Posuk, Hoya Boiche, Rebbe Kiva began to cry. What did Rebbe Kiva say? Umi ma mishin is chavan lalis b'yod abosa chazir. If really a person who thought eating chazir, because according to them it was osa. Va'ole b'yod abosa teleh. And it wasn't osa, because the father had got rid of her neder, and they ate bosa teleh, which is kosher, which is a perfectly kosher animal. Ton kapor requires atonement, or slicha. Hamischaven lalish b'yod abosa chazir. A person has kavona to eat bosa chazir. Va'ole b'yod abosa chazir. And he actually ate bosa chazir. Al achas kama v'kama, how much more so? Rabbi Akiva began to cry. Now where did Rabbi Akiva cry? We only find Rabbi Akiva cries in this particular place. Where did Rabbi Akiva not cry? Now these are Gemaras, the end of Makkos. And we have Rabbi Akiva in the most emotional settings. We have one Gemara that talks about the Gemara Sanhedrin, by the way, before that. Gemara Sanhedrin, Kuf Aleph and Aleph. They're all standing around Rabbi Lezer HaGadol's bed. And they were all crying, the God Lador's being Nifta. And he was suffering terribly. Their Rebbe, Rabbi Lezer HaGadol, was suffering terribly. And Rabbi Akiva started to laugh. So sometimes, you know, you get these awkward situations, the person begins to laugh. Not Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is calculated. He looks at a stone and it's dripping and he makes calculations. He starts laughing. So why are you laughing? Rabbi Lezer HaGadol's dying. He's in Yisurim. So he said, his wine never went off. His oil never went off. His honey was always pure. Maybe he'll lose it. He's got no Yisurim in this world. He'll come into Olam Haba sad. How wonderful it is that he has Yisurim. He began to laugh. The Gemara brings down in the Gemara in Makkos, the famous Gemara, they heard the Roimim, 120 mil away, celebrating the defeat of the Jews. And they were crying, the Tanoim were crying, and Rabbi Kiva started laughing. And he said, if already those were over at Sinai, those people who go against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, can get such schar, can live such, celebrate so much, we, who are close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, how much schar are we going to get? And he started to laugh. The Gemara brings down even more. Pamachas hoya oilin Yerushalayim. They came to Har Tzofim. They came to overlooking the Mokem Mikdosh. Koru Bigdei and tore the clothes. Kevishgila Habayis came to Habayis. Ro Shual Shiyotz Meis Kodesh Kedoshim. It was in ruins. And he saw a Shual, a fox, leaving Kodesh Kedoshim. He schila hein boichin and began to cry. Ala Tanoim. Rebbe Akiva Mitzachik. And Rebbe Akiva began to laugh. Omrim Lipnei Matim Mitzachik. Why are you laughing, Rebbe Akiva? It's not appropriate. Omrim Lehem Lipnei Matim Boichim. I don't understand why you're crying. So he said, Kodesh Baruch Hu, who fulfilled this Nevuah, there will be a destruction to fulfill the Nevuah. So Rabbi Akiva, he was able to laugh. He's even able to laugh when they're ripping his skin off his face, when they killed him with Misum Mashuna. They're ripping the skin off his face, and he was cool, he was smiling. He said, Rabbi Akiva, why are you smiling? He said, my whole life I've been waiting for this, my whole life. And he was smiling. When he came to a pasuk, and he started teaching us a small extra point of Yirah Shemayim, of looking from a pasuk and seeing if already a kal v'chomer for Yirah Shemayim. Wow! That brought him to tears. That's when he began to cry. His Rebbe dying didn't make him cry. A churban doesn't make him cry. Ripping skin off his face makes him smile. Seeing an extra nakuda of Yirah Shemayim that he never realized beforehand, how much got the extra tshuva, that charata that he had on chatoim, that made him cry. That was Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, it's brought down in the Sifrei Kabbalah, that the Asara Haruge Malchus, those 10 people who were killed in Asara Haruge Malchus, were neged the kapara of the tribes, of the ten shvatim who are in Mechiras Yosef. There's various different ways of understanding who the 10th one was, because Reuben wasn't there, and Yosef wasn't there, and Binyam. But yeah, Binyam wasn't there. Okay, that's a very different discussion, but it's brought down that Rabbi Akiva, it's brought down in Sifrei Kabbalah, that Rabbi Akiva was from Nezah HaKodesh. Rabbi Akiva was the Gilgal of Shimon. So Shimon was the one who the Yomi Ishal Ochiv, whose Ochiv Shimon said to Levi. So Shimon said to Levi, let's go and kill him. Yeah, let's go and kill him. And at the end, he didn't kill him. So Rabbi Akiva thought, if I'm the Gilgal of Shimon, and nothing happened in the end, Baruch Hashem, Yosef survived, and he was a king in Mitzrayim. That was Hashgacha Pratis. Fantastic. He comes to this Rashi, and he sees, and even an intention that nothing came out of needs kapara. It needs selicha. It needs a Hashem yislach lo. Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Wow, I never realized this. Another nekud of Yerushalayim, another element of coming closer to Kodesh Baruch of Tshuva, he begins to cry. We see over here a point that a yochid mumcha, a person who's associated closely with Torah, understands what is really important. He's able to extract from you and give you clarity when you made this neder in a dining room against yeshiva. Was that really what you wanted? Is that really who you are? Is that really important to you? Do you have any regrets? A Yochid Mumcha has a clarity like Rabbi Akiva, hopefully has some part of the clarity, to bring out and to describe and express to the person what's it all about? Why do you really, what did you do? Did you really mean to do what you did? Is that really what's going through your head? And therefore, this Parshas Matos, I always say, it's what really matters. Yeah, what really matters? What really is important? A Yochid Mumcha is able to show you and express to you what is really important in life. And therefore you can now rewind and say, no, if I would have done that, you're right, I've never have done that, it's ridiculous, it's silly, I should have done that, I've never saw through it. And therefore he's able to rewind the neder as if it never happened before. That is a koyach of a koyach ha-Torah, that's a koyach of a person who has clarity, and that is a koyach of Rosh HaMatos Davka. And therefore this parasha really is the parasha of clarity. Okay? Later on in the parasha, excuse me, we had the sugya of Bnei God Bnei Reuven. Bnei God Bnei Reuven. And there is negotiations here that they wanted Eva HaYardain, they wanted the path over the Yardain in order to, they had a lot of cattle, and they wanted it. And they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we're happy to stay here. Eretz Yisrael, no, we're happy to stay Eva HaYardain. They're so close. Reuven, God, Chatzri Menashe, these were the greatest people, these were the greatest tribes. Chazal bring down what Tamid HaChomim they were. Why were they satisfied in compromising, in living Eva HaYardin that does not have the same Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael that Eretz Yisrael had? What's Peshat? Because of extra panosa, bigger houses, that's what it's all about. And not only that, Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, and they say, let's build homes for our cattle, and houses for our family. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. First you build is for your family, and then you build homes for your cattle. Well, that's on their head. Really? They care more about the cattle than they care about the families? So, the Chiddush HaLev, which is a sefer where, Chiddush HaLev was Rosh Yeshiva of Chofetz Chaim. Henoch Lebowitz. Henoch Lebowitz was very, very in touch with understanding the mind of a human being and why he did what he did. He said, Chas v'sholom, to think for one second that these people were looking at a financial breakthrough. That they'd be able to retire, they've got big houses, they can pay a big pool outside, and they can play golf once a week, and they can live it up. Let all the other chevra live in Bnei Brak, we live in West Palm Beach. Right? Fantastic. Yeah, great. Chas v'sholom. No, it wasn't Eretz Yisrael. Yeah? It wasn't Eretz Yisrael. Cyprus, I don't know, close to Eretz Yisrael, right? Says Henoch Lebowitz, not for a second did that idea go through their head. They wanted to live there to have an easy parnasa that the rest of the day they can just sit and learn. And they can just steig, they can have the sheep multiplying there, and they can sit in the koil and learn the whole day. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, yes, very noble, fantastic, but you slip very, very soon, along the conversation we see that your mind is changing, that your priority is no longer are your children, is a panosa for your children, it is your panosa comes first. And that is where Moshe Rabbeinu has pointed out to them. And therefore, the Yochid Mumcha, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mumcha of all the Rebbes, is able to point out and say, I know what you're thinking, I think you're thinking okay, but you're slipping, you don't have the priorities. Rabbi, I saw an amazing clip once of a child came to his father, obviously one brought it out once. A child came to his father, who's a lawyer, and he said to him, Daddy, I'd like to learn with you. So father says, I'm sorry, I don't have time now. He says, a few minutes, Dad, I'm sorry, I'm very busy, I don't have time. The kid comes back to his father's office, he's got a little piggy bank. He says, Daddy, how much do you earn an hour? He says, it's not your business. No, Daddy, tell me, how much do you earn an hour? He said, I earn $200 an hour. Daddy, I have $50 here for my savings. I'll loan you for 15 minutes. This is a father, and why is he working? Why is a father working? For his kids! He's not working for himself. You ask him honestly, and he really means it. It's for his kids. Yeah, but this big kid, he doesn't see his kids. And the kids are asking to learn with him. He doesn't have time. The kid comes in piggy bank. That is the priority. The matzis is what really matters. Are you making neder for the right reasons? Are you making chumras for the right reasons? Are you crying for the right reasons? Are you laughing for the right reasons? Are you doing panosha for the right reasons? That is parashas matzis. And that is the limud, that we can cry over the most saddest things, because if you have the reality of what's going on, and you can laugh, you can cry over the most smallest nekudas and laugh over the most tragic things. If you have the reality and know where life is taking us, what is real and what isn't, that is what the Torah expects of us in this stage. To understand carefully what is the reality. Churban has to become a reality. Beis Hamikdash has to become a reality. That is what's expected in Be'ezus Hashem. We should get this and focus on it and become much, much more focused people.